earth that we live on is the work of His hands. So what does that tell us? God took a little bit more care, a little bit more effort, a little bit more power to create this planet. And why did He give more care to this planet than all the rest of them? It's because this is the one where He is ones created in His likeness and image we're going to dwell. That's you. That's me. Glory to God. So God put a little bit more effort in it. But the Bible tells us that God actually used a little more power than that to do something else. The Bible tells us over in Isaiah chapter 53 verse 1, who has believed our report? Who has believed our report? I believe the report of the Lord. And it says, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Talking about redemption, talking about salvation. So what that tells us is this, is God took more effort, took more power, took more of His strength to raise us up from the dead together with Christ and seat us in the heavenly places than He took to create this earth and that He took to create all the sun, moon, and stars out there. And I got better news than that. The Bible actually tells us that that same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in me. It dwells in you. So guess what? I got more power on the inside of me than it took God to create the sun, moon, and stars. So why don't we start spending some of it? Amen. Why don't we start using what we got? Amen. Well, so this morning we're going to do something a little special. Of course, many of you know that we just got back from India, Bruce and I. So we want to give you a little testimony of what God did. How many of you would like to hear what God did? Hallelujah! And let me tell you, first of all, I wanted to give a very heartfelt thank you to every person in here that was a part of sending us, whether it be through your financial support or through your prayers. Every person that was praying for us during this time, every person that was a part of sending us, I want to tell you this in all humility, you sowed into good ground. Because what you're going to hear this morning, there were great things that happened, things that will forever impact the kingdom of God over there, and doors that have been opened for the future. So again, thank you guys for allowing us to go. And I wanted to also say this, a very big thank you to Pastor Robert Stump. He really had to step up. And I heard he did a rip-roaring job while I was gone. To the point I start getting all these good reports and I'm like, well, I might as well just stay in India. Thank you for all you did, Robert. And thank you guys for stepping up and filling in during the time where we were gone. Amen. God did great things. Praise the Lord. I got a word before we went. Minton Williams gave me this word. And he'll hear this. And continue to be praying for him. He's in Honduras right now on a missions trip. He told me, the word I'm getting for you is that you're going to be going in the fullness of the blessing. The fullness of the blessing. Now listen, if you go in the blessing, that'd be pretty doggone good. That'd be enough, right, to carry you through. But to go in the fullness of the blessing is pretty awesome. And I can affirmatively tell you that we did. And you're going to hear that from Bruce as well, that we went in the fullness of the blessing. Things just flowed. You know, I hear about people, they go on these trips and they get sick the whole time they're gone and all this chaos and all this, got to make all these adjustments. I've gone 4 times and I hadn't had any experiences like that because of prayers and your prayers. So thank you guys for that. What a blessing it was for y'all, because I believe every person that was a part of this trip in all those different ways went with us. Amen? Because the sender is just as blessed as the goer. Amen? That's what the Bible teaches us. And I also wanted to give kudos to Bruce. Now, this is the first time I've ever taken anybody with me on these trips, and there's a reason why. Because when I go over there, this is not a vacation. You understand that? Some people go on mission trips and it ain't nothing but glorified vacations. They do a couple of things while they're over there, but the rest of the time they're just sightseeing and stuff like that. We're running when we were there. We were preaching. I preached, I think, 28, 29 times in those 12 or 13 days. And plus we did a lot of extra things, one-on-one ministry and other stuff that was very impacting, like I said, and will have future ramifications. But I wanted to give kudos to Bruce as he's coming on up here. Come on, Bruce. Bruce was a trooper the whole time. Now, I think he had it harder than I did. There was one night he woke up at midnight and didn't go back to sleep. You know, your sleep gets really jacked up when you're over there, but you would have never known it. He was so tough. He was such a blessing on the trip, and he's going to tell you more things that God ended up doing through him there. I'm sure that it will really bless you. But the one thing that came out of this trip that I wasn't anticipating, you know what it was? Is that I grew a closer friendship with Bruce. That's the awesome thing about, hey, when you're staying in the same room with him for a couple of weeks. I asked him a question. I said, Bruce, I got to ask you a really sincere question, and you can answer it in front of everybody here today. I said, Bruce, I got a question for you. Do you like me more or less after this trip? Because my little anal self, you know what I'm saying, is like, we got to go, let's go, you know, and we're running through the airports and stuff like that. So, but he was a trooper. You never would have known there was any kind of jet lag or anything like that. He was a blessing. And so I just wanted to thank you, Bruce. Praise God. So Bruce is going to share with us, and then I'm going to come back and share a little bit with you. Praise God.
Amen. Had a couple that we stayed with, and every time they turned around, they were saying, hallelujah! And I thought, yeah, that's a great thing to just be a habit of saying hallelujah all the time. I want to speak quickly, because I didn't have it in my notes, about the part of me being able to stay up with things, even though I missed nights of sleep. There are actually four different nights that I either woke up at midnight or two or three and then just didn't go back to sleep. And I thought, well, it must be time to pray in the Spirit. And I was actually tired before we left, but during the whole trip, I just had plenty of energy. I was never feeling like I was about to sink or anything like that. God just supernaturally gave me the strength. And it wasn't until on the van ride back from Atlanta that it hit me, and that it took a few days to try to catch up. But, you know, throughout the time when we were there and we were supposed to be ministering, I just had everything I needed. I do want to echo the same thing that Trey said. Thank you so much for those who gave and those who prayed to send us. You know, can't go without that. It takes money to buy airline tickets and everything else. I do want to also start with that, but in the weeks before I went on this trip, I learned something from a previous mission trip, and that was, if you don't do it here, you're not going to do it there. And so in the weeks before the trip, I was looking for opportunities to say a word or to lay hands on people or something like that, because it doesn't just happen there if you haven't practiced it here. You have to be in mind of it. And another thing that people kind of think of when they go on a trip like this is, well, once we hit the ground over there, then we can start looking for opportunities. But both coming and going, there are opportunities before we got there and after we left. And so I want to share some of those too. In fact, I got my first opportunity to operate in things of God as we were on our first long flight. It was 13 hours going over, 15 coming back, just because of we're going against the wind on the way back. But about halfway into the flight, in the middle of the night, a baby starts crying. And I thought, yeah, I've been on many trips before, and a baby always starts crying. But I thought, well, at least it's only one baby, and they're not crying too loud, so that's good. And then I thought, no, how else can I think about that? And so I thought, you know, I was in this one teaching one time where it says Satan actually tries to start the motion of fear in our lives, and when we're babies, just scaring us even when we're that small. And I also remembered that babies don't know how to swallow. They don't know how to clear their ears. And so I knew the baby was probably in some discomfort. So I just prayed, and I commanded all demons to leave the baby alone, to stop scaring them, and that I just prayed comfort and peace over the baby, and he stopped crying. Thank you, Jesus. And he started to cry a couple more times during the flight, and I just said, no, and he stopped. Yeah, so that was just God using me just from the very beginning. So I was really encouraged by that. So we arrived in Habbaterad about 3 a.m. their time, and we were met by Victor and Anoop, a couple of people that were there to help us, and they brought a van to get all our stuff to our room. So we're going to our room, and they said, you want to stop for coffee? And I'm like, it's 3 a.m., your time. But all along the road, there's these little places, just a hut, and so my first chance to have India coffee. It was like 3:30 a.m. in the morning, and we had these little cups of coffee, and it was really good. They make it a special way. They warm milk, and so it's actually about a third of a cup of milk, and then the other two-thirds coffee and sugar. We purposely only slept about 2 hours that first night because we didn't get to our room till around 5:30 a.m. and we knew we needed to try to get adjusted to their time. So we then got up and went down, and the hotel had a complimentary breakfast each morning. So we went down and eat some Indian food. And I was a little bit apprehensive going over there because everybody said how spicy it was. But everything I tasted over there was good. Some of it was a little spicy and burned my lips and mouth and everything else, but it still tasted good, so that was good. Wednesday evening, that first day, we just spent kind of getting used to being there, and like Trey was still working on some notes for the teachings he was going to do. And that evening, we decided to go to an Indian restaurant across the street from our hotel. Well, I don't know if you have any pictures in the slides of the streets, but this is like a three-lane street on each side with a divider in the middle. Only the way Indians drive, they were driving in about five lanes on each side because the lines mean absolutely nothing. And so here's, you know, 100 cars at any given moment with 2,000 or 3,000 motorcycles, it seemed, in between all those cars, weaving in and out. And then people just decide to go and walk across.
Let me give you a break for a second.
All right. There's a saying in India that in the UK, they drive on the left side of the road. In India, you drive on whatever's left of the road. Amen? And that's so true.
Absolutely. So we basically took our lives in our hands trying to cross this street to get to this Indian restaurant in the back. And we just had to, by faith, kind of like hold our hands out and hope they would stop, and got across the street, and we survived, so that was good. On Thursday, we had our first classes with the students, and Trey taught the sermon series that he's been teaching us lately, the Armor of God, to the students at each of the schools we went to. And so that went really well. I noticed during worship, as I closed my eyes to worship, that I saw something on one of the girls in the worship team. It was just something demonic or whatever. And so after the teaching, and when we had a break, I went up to her and I said, I saw something on you that it's possibly going to hinder you. Do you want me to pray for it? And she said, yes, yes. And so I prayed, and I was expecting it to leave, but I wasn't expecting her to go boom right on the floor. And so she fell down, and the other students kind of grabbed her, but she was, I guess, delivered of whatever that was, because it was an obvious manifestation that happened. And then she came to me after another break and said that it's customary that when someone imparts something to you that they give something back. And so she gave me a rupees bill. And I thought, this is really good, because Marsha and I have been talking about starting a ministry. And I told her, your money is the first money going into that ministry. And so that was an interesting thing there. Friday, again, Trey was teaching the same thing, the second half of the Armor of God, and all of the students lined up afterwards for prayer. That's just pretty much everywhere we went, every school and every church. When we got to the end, everybody wanted prayer. I mean, everybody. And you see this long line of people, and you just think, well, yeah, well, praise the Lord, we're here for this. And so Trey was very good to me, that he blessed me and honored me by saying, Bruce, you come up with me when I'm laying hands on these people and pray with me. And so I was very blessed by that. And God actually gave me a few extra words for some of the people that he was praying for. Friday night is the night that I went to bed at 8:30 and woke up at 12:30 and just could not sleep. And so after a while, I just said, okay, fine, I'm going to pray in the Spirit. And I realized why I couldn't pray, because my spirit was like going, ooh, 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 ooh. And there was something that was coming together. There was a convergence of several things. For a few years, I've been desiring, and Marsha also, to become a gospel entrepreneur. And what Dave Roberson defines that is someone who is able to receive and funnel into the gospel millions or even billions of dollars. And so I've been seeking that. Oh. Good. I thought that was me. So that was one of the things that was on my heart. Another thing that we've also been involved with is fighting human trafficking. And so Marsha and I participate with this Out of Darkness agency that helps rescue prostitutes out of that life. And so that's another thing that's been on my heart. And then when we talked to this one leader of the CBC schools at Habbatarad, Paul Raj, he was talking about their funding issues and how that they could not receive any money from outside of India, that they were restricted to receive money just from in-country. And I thought, well, darn, I would have liked to have given to that. And so that was another thing that was on my heart that night. And then I found out recently that human trafficking is a big problem in India, that it's a huge problem over there. And then I was reminded also of another thing that Paul Raj said, that a lot of the CBC students who go to that school and graduate, they're not going there to become pastors. They're just going to go through there and they're going to go back into business world or whatever to change that environment. And so all these things are on my mind, and God just said, you know, here's something that could pull all that together. What if you start a business in India with somebody else that is there that can help me, and the proceeds or the profits from it go to help people who are coming out of human trafficking, and then you would need somebody to manage that because I wouldn't be there. What if a CBC graduate was able to manage it? So God just pulled all those things together, all those desires of my heart in one little thing that is a possibility. And then he connected me with like four or five other people through the rest of the trip that were saying, oh yeah, I can help you do this. Yeah, I can put you in contact with this person. And so it's something that I believe is going to come to fruition. Saturday, we had the part-time students. So Thursday and Friday, it was the full-time students. They go Monday through Friday all day. And then on Saturday, they have the part-time students that just come once a week. And Trey was teaching on fellowship with the Holy Spirit during that time. And it was really interesting that the students just were, I think, even more engaged than the full-time students. And so it was awesome just to see what they were doing. And again, we had the time for prayer because, you know, this was a whole different set of students. So at the end, we had the time for praying for people. And during that time, there was actually a couple of demons cast out as Prey was speaking and commanding over people. After that, we went to lunch at a restaurant. And we were not expecting this. I don't know that Trey's ever had this before, but the lady who's the secretary, I guess I'll call it, over there, her husband is the chef over like 20 different restaurants. He's the head chef. And this is a restaurant that is like three times the size of this room. It's a five-star restaurant. And so we go and we're his guests and he just treats us to lunch. And, you know, it's like a five-course meal. They kept bringing this stuff, all these different things, and we were eating them and I thought, this is a pretty good meal. And he said, that was just the appetizer. And I'm like, oh no, I'm already full. So we just ate, you know, like crazy, and you know, just that was just an unexpected blessing. That was part of that walking in the fullness of the blessing. That, yes, we were very full. On Sunday, Trey preached at two different churches. Both of them had a pastor named Danny, which I thought was interesting. One of them, the first one was from the school. It was only about 30 people in there, but they were just praising God with all their heart, and it was just a really great service. And he was talking about how praise will empower us in times of difficulty, getting us through those times. And afterwards, again, everybody wanted to come up for prayer, so you know, Trey was again praying for them, and just all kinds of things were manifesting, and it was really good. The second service was a bigger church, again, Pastor Danny, but different guy, and there was over 100 in that service, and it was just awesome. God just kind of pointed out to me, there was this guitarist that they had, and he was African-American, and I mean, to see African-American in India is a whole lot rarer than in the United States. I mean, I think he's the only one I saw the whole time we were there. And he was just up there praising the Lord with all his heart, you know, and I thought, this is cool. But I don't know, it was just something that touched my heart. Oh, and at the end of that service, their pastor and Trey were both, it was like a dual team praying over people, and then sometimes it would just come together where all of a sudden they were both drawn to pray for the same person, and then they would go back and be praying for separate people. Just the spirit of unity was just really awesome. Oh, one of the things Trey had told me when I told him about my dream or vision that night that I couldn't sleep, he said, well, Bruce, let me tell you this. We're going to go on this trip in a couple of days to Javala, and I'll tell you about that in a minute. Talk to Paul Raj, because he's in business here already, and he's got connections and he's had experience in this. If Paul Raj thinks it's not a good idea, then maybe you just missed it and you didn't hear from the Lord. But if he thinks it's a good idea, then that would be confirmation. So we go on this trip, and where he took us to was the new location of what's going to be the Charis Leadership Center, and it's going to be like an advanced school for people from all over India that have gone through CBC to be able to come and get advanced training. And so we went out there, and it's just a big fenced-off area. They've cleared the rocks out of it, they've dug a well, and they've planted a few trees, but just being able to stand on that ground and see, you know, this place that God was going to be using in the future for additional training of leaders in India was just really good. But on the way, I did talk to him about the idea, and he said, oh yeah, that's great. He said, and he had some suggestions, and he said, if you want me to advise you, please let me know. And so, you know, that was kind of a confirmation that I was hearing from God. On Monday, we got packed up and got ready to go to our second location in Chennai. And it's interesting, they're only a few hundred miles apart, but the difference in climate is a lot. It's 1,700 feet, I think, elevation in Hyderabad, and about zero at Chennai because it's right on the ocean. And so we got ready, and we're getting out to the airport, and we met with a couple of friends that Trey knew that we just couldn't connect with while we were there except to meet them right at the airport as we were about to leave. And so we got to talk with them, and they were sharing back and forth and everything. And it came up, he was talking about his businesses, how he had started many, many businesses, and that he was also an investment banker. And so I brought my idea up to him, and he says, yeah, that's a great idea. Let me tell you, you could do this and you could do this. So again, another thing that someone's just jumping right in, you know, saying that that would work. So we get all the way over to Chennai, and on the ride down, we get to sit with this young boy. He's like 20. And he's coming back from his college break, and his mother and his grandmother have sent goodies with him to take back to his school buddies. And so we're just talking with him for a while, and then he all of a sudden says, would you like some of my homemade goodies? And so he's just, you know, opening up to us, total strangers, basically, he's just met, and sharing the goodies from his grandmother and mother that were cooked with absolutely pure things. The cow, you know, the milk came from the cow right on their farm and everything, and it was just a nice experience, too. And then we got up to, or down to Chennai, and Stanley and Susan picked us up. They're just a wonderful couple. I just fell in love with them. They just love the Lord. They love to bless people. And it just so happens that he's a businessman also. They own three businesses right now and are looking at possibly going into two more. So I had another chance to talk to someone who, again, was saying, yes, you know, we could do these things, and I'd be glad to help you with it. But we got there that night, and then Tuesday, Vijay, that's one of the people that Trey has known for a while, and Emmanuel, who speaks India in tongues. I mean, Vijay is like, and but Emmanuel is blah, 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 blah. I mean, he's like a turbo India speaker. And I asked him one time, I said, are you two speaking the same language? And he said, yes. And I said, well, it sure sounds different coming out of Emmanuel's mouth. It must be in tongues. But anyway, he picked us up, and we went on Tuesday to the King of Kings Christian Assembly Church, and it's way over in Vellore, so it was like a three-hour trip out for a 7 p.m. meeting. They started at 7, and about 7:45, 7:50, they were done just with the praise and worship part, and that's just the way they like to do it in India, and I think it's great. But Trey was speaking to them about how God loves and desires to give us all things, but that we have to actually believe that he wants to give us all things and receive those things. And the reason that was an awesome message is because this church had not heard that message yet. So it was like new information for them, a new direction that they could go. And it just, I think, opened up some really great doors in the spiritual world for that church. On Wednesday, again, Vijay picked us up in the afternoon, took us to another church, and this one was very different. It was just on the far side of town, but we went out of town, and then we went to a village, and then we drove out of the village. I mean, we were in the sticks of the sticks, and we go in this room that's just a big one room, and I think there was about 60 people crammed in there. If we'd put chairs, it would have been only 30. But they were just crammed in there, ready to hear the gospel. And it was, again, an awesome time with Trey preaching the word. And they were just so ready, so hungry to hear that word. And they received some good things. And again, after the service, there must have been more like 75, because Trey prayed for every single person there. And it was like an hour and a half after the service ended that he got done praying for people, because everybody wanted prayer, and God was just pouring word after word after word through Trey to these people. Thursday, we finally got to where we were teaching in the school. Well, Trey was teaching. I was enjoying. So he, again, was the same message of the armor of God, although I told one of the people there, I said, you know, we've already had this in our church, and I already heard it at the school at High Baderad, but every time Trey preaches it, it's new, because it's, you know, spirit-led, and so he always says something a little bit different, and it's just always good. After one of the sessions, a couple named Gerald and Blessie came up to me, and they said, I hear you like giving. And I'm like, how does this couple even know me? I've never seen you in my life. But I said, yes, I do. And I proceeded to tell them Marcia and I's financial testimony, how God blessed us before I started tithing, and then I started tithing, and how God just worked all through that. And I said, so yes, I do like I like giving. And I also mentioned that I was hoping to start a business in India. And they said, well, here's 1,000 rupees to sow into that business. And so they just were willing to give towards that. So that was the second time that someone gave me something to start a new ministry. That evening I was able to talk with Susan, because Trey and Stanley had gone off to talk with a new pastor that he had never met before, and that was going to open up now, we think, another opportunity for him to preach at an additional place the next time he goes back. So that was a good open door that he had. But in the meantime, I was talking to Susan, and I shared with her my ideas further about the business I was hoping to open there, and she was sharing with me about all their different things, and how Stanley had actually gone to school to be a hotel manager, and he helped to do that in the future too. And that she said he always has ideas from the Lord. God gives him this idea and that idea, and then he's able to just they pray into it and they move into it. Friday again, we went to the school, and Trey finished up his teaching with the armor of God, and we had a really good meal. It was actually catered. It was a Friday or Saturday, by Stanley and Susan. One of their businesses that they cook home-cooked Indian food, and they deliver it to either homes or businesses, and so they were the ones that catered on one of the days that were there. But at the end of the time, when Gerald and Blessie were about to leave, they came back up to me, and they gave me this big medallion thing that has a beautiful picture of India, and they said, be sure to pray for India if your time you see that. So that was a nice keepsake that I got. Saturday, again, we had the part-time students, and it was interesting because there was like 45 of them, which was a much larger number than they usually would expect, but they were just really, really intent on listening to the word that Trey was preaching, again, related to fellowship with the Holy Spirit, and you know how he can lead us personally, that we don't have to just try to figure it out. Oh, on that day, I talked to Timothy. He's the dean of the school there, and I just happened to mention to him the idea that I had about it, the business I wanted to start, and the conversation had gone to that, and he takes my hand and he holds my hand and he walks me all the way over to this other couple still holding my hand. I'm feeling kind of uncomfortable, but that's just the way they do things. And it's a cultural thing. And he put my hand in his hand, and he said, talk to this man. He'll work with you. And so I talked to him. That was John Singh. And he listened to me for a while, and he said, well, what kind of business experience do you have? I said, none. He said, are your parents in business? I said, no. And I said, and not only that, but I don't have any money to put into a business either. But I believe that God's going to provide everything that I'll need for it. And he says, I have someone I need to introduce you to. So he calls this person that's already in ministry, reaching out to people who are coming out of human trafficking, and puts me on the phone with him. and lets me talk to him for a while. So that, there was another connection. That night, we got to have a great gathering with Stanley and Susan and her parents and some of their friends. And so there's like four or five couples, plus me and Trey and Susan and Stanley, they're in this house. And what do? To pass the time. Well, we just sang praises to the Lord and shared testimonies for 3 hours just because that's what we wanted to do, and it was just a great thing. And then we had dinner, and you know, of course, by then it's 10:30 at night, and we had church in the morning. So, but it's just a really different, I don't know, atmosphere to go to somebody's house, and what do you want to do? Well, we want to praise the Lord and share testimonies for a few hours. I just thought that was an awesome experience. On Sunday, Trey preached at the 7 a.m. and 9:30 a.m. Notice I did say 7 a.m. and 9:30 a.m. services at this large church, and it was way across town. It was like a 30, 40-minute drive. It was really cool, I mean, to see, you know, 4,000 or 5,000 people, even 6,000, I think it was, in the room for each of these two different services. And Trey was just preaching the word, and the cool thing was... we weren't really sure how they would receive it or how the pastor would receive it. And Trey got up to preach and preached a very strong message again on receiving from the Holy Spirit and fellowship and relationship. And the pastor gets up to preach after him in each service, taking it a step further, agreeing with what everything Trey had said and, you know, just sharing his own personal experiences. And it was like they were twins. They were connected even though they'd never met before, preaching the same gospel. And to about 12 or 13,000 in these two services, and also to over 92 countries over television. So that was a big thing. Afterwards, we went and had some fellowship time with the pastor and his wife, and we were just sitting in there, and he said, "Could we pray for you?" And so we said, "Sure." And so I actually... Trey was praying for them, that's what it was. He said, "Could you pray for us?" And so Trey starts praying for them, and I'm just closing my eyes, and I see this vision of the pastor being stabbed in the shoulder, and then I see like light coming out of it, and he's being healed. And so I thought, gosh, do I share that or not? And I said, well, I might as well just step out and do it. So I share it with him after we get done praying, and he says, "Many people have already told me that they have been praying and seeing the same vision of me being stabbed." And he told us about this incident a couple of years before where some people had come into the church, armed people, like 100 of them, and were trying to round him up, and they wanted to kill him, but God just rescued him. And so that he said the people in his church, you know, were praying that God would change what we saw in the vision, that he would not be harmed. And so I thought that was interesting that what God gave me was confirmed by all these other people having the same vision. And Vijay, who was the one taking us around, told me later that he had seen the same vision during the prayer time. But then afterwards, Trey asked them to pray for us too, and they prayed some really awesome things over us, and Trey got a recording of it, and just some really cool things that were being prophesied over us. So after we left that church, we're going down the road, and we're going to go by this certain route, and we just happened to run out of gas. And where we ran out of gas just happened to be by the Chennai beach that Trey had said, "I really wish we had time to go to the beach, but I know we don't." So we got Vijay and Emmanuel in the car. Emmanuel goes to get gas, and we go walk to the beach. So we walk half a mile out to the beach. We take some pictures, and we come back to the car. About that time, Emmanuel's back with the gas, and we go on our way. So, you know, God just gave us everything we wanted. That night, we went to the Fisherman's Church, which was probably the smallest, poorest church. It was called the Fisherman's Church because it was out on the outskirts of Chennai on the ocean. We didn't know that until afterwards because we went there when it was dark. But there's this, it was just a converted house, and it had like a little room over here and a little room here and a little room where you walked in, so it was kind of like a T-shape. And if you set up chairs, it'd probably only hold 25 people max, but there was only just a section for like disabled people or whatever to sit in, like about five chairs. The rest, everybody was sitting on the ground. And over on the right was like 30 kids all piled together, crammed in this one little section. And then over here was like all the ladies crammed in this other section. And then the men and a couple other people who were disabled were in the third section. And as we walked in, God just kind of put it on my heart. He said, these people need to know that I am El Roy. That's one of the names of God in the Old Testament. And it's the God who sees me. And so God just put that in my heart. And I told Trey that. And he blessed and honored me by saying, Bruce, why don't you come up here and share what you heard from God? So I was able to speak that to them and, you know, bless them as they started. Then Trey gets up and preaches to this crowd of fishermen who are poor as dirt about prosperity and how God wants to bless them and make them prosperous. You know, and at first I kind of saw some looks on their faces like, really? But as God preached it, he said, you know, God wants to make us prosperous, and he's able to make us prosperous, but we have to believe that he wants to do that and receive it. And then the lights started coming on in people's eyes. I was looking all around them, and it's like, wow, you know, we don't have to stay the way we are. And it was just great lights coming on. So I expect awesome things to happen in that fishing community that when Trey and I go back in future years that you know, there's going to be changes in that community. There's going to be, you know, fishing businessmen who are, you know, employing other people and whatnot just because of the word that they received. Afterwards, we went to the house of one of the pastors, and there was actually two pastors that were co-pastors of the church, and so we ate a nice meal there, including the catch of the day, literally. Because they had caught fish that day. They had cooked them for us, and so we got fresh fish. I forget the name of the dish. It was whatever. It was some spicy thing. It was good, and so we got to, you know, just, you know, right out of the ocean or the sea that day. So that was just really cool. And again, the pastor comes up to each of us and said, well, we want to give you seed money into your ministries. And so they gave both Pastor Trey and I some things, some money to sow into ministry. Monday morning, we got up at Stanley and Susan's house, and they said, let's have communion. And so before we ate breakfast, we just observed communion, and that was just a nice, intimate time to do that. Then we got to go to their business, their cooking business, and Trey was able to pray a blessing over the business and as well as one of the employees. And then he asked me to pray over one of the other employees, again, including me in the ministry. So I really appreciate that. After that, we went to a couple of historic sites, and it was raining all day. And it hadn't rained up till then, but all of a sudden it was raining on and off through the day. And then we went to a mall to eat and to do a little bit of shopping for souvenirs and whatnot. And we noticed that we were up on the top floor, and it was pouring like crazy. And so we got done shopping and went out. And as we're going out the back end, we had to go through this one thing where the water was about a foot deep in a parking lot. And I thought, wow, it's getting a little deep here. And anyway, we went back to the house, and we're getting packed because we were leaving for the airport. We had to be at the airport at midnight to leave at 3 in the morning. And so we go to the airport, and it's been raining all this time. And one of the intersections we go through, it's like 2.5 feet deep. This guy had to get off his motorcycle because it quit and push it through this really deep water. So we get to the airport. It's still raining. We finally get on our flight to go, and we get out just fine. But when we get to Doha, which is after the shorter leg of the flight, Trey sees a Facebook post from Stanley, and it's showing the street in front of his house, and the water's like that deep. Well, even when it was flooded in the other places, there was no water on the street in front of his house. It hadn't got there. So it was at least a foot deeper, which means if it had started raining 6 hours earlier, we would not have been able to get to the airport. But God just worked it out to where we were able to get there. On the flight back, I didn't have any crying babies. But as the stewardess came and asked me what I wanted for dinner, God just put it on my heart to ask her if there was anything I could pray for her about. And she just kind of looked at me, and tears came in her eyes. She said, wow, I've never had anybody ask me, could they pray for me? And she said, well, I said, was there anything in particular? And she said, well, you know, my family and all. And I thought, okay, I'll pray for you. And so I prayed some for her right then. And then she came back and she said, I'm going to have a list for you, but I have to go take my nap right now because the stewardess were on shifts and they would sleep a little while because it was a 15-hour flight on the way back. She said, when I get back, though, I'll have my list. And I said, cool. You know, so she went and took her nap, and I slept a little, and then she comes back, and she just kind of kneels down next to me in the aisle and starts telling me all about these different things she wants me to pray for. And it just came to my heart immediately. This is everything that Trey has preached before about the fullness of salvation. There, you know, it's not only just forgiveness of sins, but it's also prosperity and healing and favor and every good thing that God has given us. And the things that she's asking for is like covering all these points. And I told her this, and she actually knew it. She said, yes, I know. Now that I say it, it is that. And I said, well, let's pray. And so I prayed for her, and she said afterwards, can you become a prayer partner with me? Can you stay in touch? And so I got her email address, and we're already conversing back and forth. So just another thing to come out of the trip that was just a great blessing. Finally, I just want to mention that I bought one of my sons a T-shirt as a souvenir because it was his kind of humor. It said, come to India. Over 1 billion people can't be wrong. But the sobering thing was we found out while we were in India that less than 10% of them are Christians. And so, in fact, there are 1 billion people in India that are wrong. And so that's kind of sobering. And so I thought, you know what? I'm going to do my part to make a difference. So I went over expecting a little bit. I knew that there was going to be blessings. I knew that you know, things were going to be prayed for, that we were going to see things happen in the spiritual, but came back with a whole lot more than what I expected. It was just an awesome experience, and I thank you for the privilege of being able to go.
Amen. And it was good. You know, we don't have a lot of time left, so just let me share some brief highlights from my perspective. This is my fourth trip over there to India, and I'll tell you, each time that I've gone, 2011 was the first time, 2013, 2015, now 2017 went way up here. God really opened up a lot of doors of blessing, and it was so good. You know, of course, we saw many people healed, physical healing, manifestation of people with pain. Like there, you see one picture, I was noticing it while I was getting the guy to lift up his arm. He had rotator cuff problems, completely healed, had full range of motion after that. A lot of different things like that were happening. We saw people baptized in the Holy Spirit. We saw people saved. We saw people delivered of demons, which you get a little bit more of a taste of that in India than you do here because of the idolatry and things like that that are practiced over there. You'll see more of a manifestation of those things. But the thing, I mean, as much as we always like the fireworks, we like all those things. How many people were healed? Did you raise anybody from the dead? And all these different things like that. And as wonderful as those things are, because of my value system and what I know is really important, imparting truth to people that will change the course of their life is more powerful than raising somebody from the dead. Because that right there, like for example, there was a point where I was teaching on the Holy Spirit and communion with Him, and I started prophesying at the end, and I said, this is going to keep some of you from accidents. Some of you, it's going to save your life. And the pastor got up and reiterated some of those things. So essentially, if somebody's life is saved by a truth that they hear, that's like raising somebody from the dead, isn't it? Amen. So we don't ever underestimate the power of the Word of God to transform and redirect somebody's life. And that's what we saw throughout the whole thing. It's so the wonderful thing about it, and Bruce will tell you, Bruce is with me throughout the day. I'm not able to prepare for messages, and there's no study time. There's none of those things. Like when we went to the fisherman's church, this is how awesome God is. During worship, I'm sitting there, and I know I'm supposed to be preaching on the blessed mentality and knowing that God wants to bless you financially. But I get there, and the Lord just opens up my Bible to Luke chapter 5 about when Jesus called the fishermen. And when Peter let him use his boat, and then after Jesus ministered from his boat, he said, cast the net out for a catch, and the net began to break. So I got to preach to these fishermen about our net breaking, ship sinking, too much God. And see, that's God. I'm not smart enough to think of nothing like that. Okay? So God constantly was pouring out truth, pouring out ministry, and blessing people in so many ways. But let me really leave this part with you. The culmination of it, I got a word. Debbie Sylvie gave me a word actually 2 weeks before we went on this trip. And she said, I see that you're going to have some adversity on this trip. So you need to be prayed up for that. Because when you come through that adversity, there's going to be a huge open door that will come as a result of it. So I took that to heart, spent a lot of time praying about it and things like that. Well, the trip goes on and on and on. And sure enough, there's no adversity. There's only blessing and only things working out like that. But on that Sunday morning when we were in Chennai, we get up, of course, the service starts at 7 a.m., and I told somebody, I said, man, if we had church at 7 a.m., we wouldn't have nobody show up. In India, they're meeting at 7 and 9:30 and this and that. Well, we get up 4:30 in the morning, we get ready. Sure enough, I get a call about 5 minutes after 6, our ride's not coming to pick us up. Now, I don't know about you, but that'll get all over you a little bit. You know what I mean? You're going to have some feelings that will accompany that. And then they called a cab for us, and the cab got lost. So sure enough, we're sitting there outside waiting for our ride to go to this wonderful opportunity to preach at this church. And the church service starts, you know, about 6:50, 7 o'clock, and it is 6:35 or something like that. Isn't that right? 6:35, 6:40 when our ride shows up. And we got to go on all the way on the other side of Chennai, which it's a big city. We're talking like 10 million people or something in the city. So we finally get in this cab, and we're darting through traffic, and we can't speak to the guy. The guy don't speak any English that's driving the cab. They just said, they gave him the address and told him to go. So we're at the whim of wherever this guy's going. So we're going and darting through traffic and all this stuff, and, you know, just had a lot of peace during it. And then we get close, because I can see the guy's GPS on his little phone, and we're getting close. We're like a couple of minutes away, but then he just stops on the side of the road, and we're like, so he's lost. He doesn't know where the church is. And we pick up on that quick. And then all of a sudden we're sitting there. We're like, oh, Lord, how are we ever going to get there before the time I'm supposed to speak? Then somebody knocks on the window of the cab. Turn, turn, turn. And it was Vijay. He found us in the middle of all these people. He says, get out and get in my car. So we hop into his car. Come on now. We hop into his car. And we take a little turn here, and then we go here, and then these armed guards open this gate, and we go into the side of this gate, which is evidently the church. They say, you're the speaker? Go on, go on. So I run. They say, go around this way. And I'm running, and I'm hearing this megaphone of just all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, so where am I going? So I go in there, and I walk in to the sanctuary to see this sea of people, probably about 7,000 people, that you couldn't see the end of them. And I find this out afterwards, that the pastor's wife got thrown under the bus, that they didn't think the speaker was going to show up. So she had just stood up behind the platform, opened her Bible, and said she had a 3-point message that she was going to give them. So I walked in at the right time, pretty much walked right in, got ushered right up to the pulpit, and then I preached a 3-point message that God had already put on my heart. And I'll tell you, the anointing was so powerful. It just, the interpreter's name was Boaz. He told me afterwards, he said, I just felt the anointing that when I was interpreting what you were saying. And that just makes sense, doesn't it? That if God's flowing in the anointing, right, didn't you tell me that, Sonia? You don't have to worry about the interpreter. Is that they're going to experience the same blessing and speak in the same anointing that the person speaking in their own known language would. And it just flowed out. I talked about eternal life, personal relationship with God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, to where the pastor told me after, I'm going to get back to the second part of the second service we had, he told me afterwards, he's like, you were so led by the Spirit, because the first service is full of unbelievers and new converts. So I was preaching on the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, which is the perfect message for those types of people. Then the second message I got to the communion of the Holy Spirit, and it was powerful. New things came up and came out during that time, and like Bruce said, it's being televised into 92 nations. Okay? And we've got a little clip here. Is this the worship one right here, Robert? So let's watch these clips real quick while Matt gets the lights off.
This is the church.
Sang this song after my message on the Holy Spirit. So the people were just embracing every level of the Holy Spirit. The video doesn't do it justice about how many people are in that place. Robert, can you put the other one on? During the
Holy Spirit.
God, you know, those two services probably had about 12,000-13,000 people in there, and it was being televised, it was out there, and the awesome thing about it was this, is that the pastors, when we met with them afterwards, you know, they were just so personally ministered to, that they were like, you need to come back, and we'll have a pastor's conference, and all these different things where we can get maybe 500 pastors together at one time. Can you imagine the impact of teaching and training 500 pastors? Say they had a 100-person congregation. How many people are you ministering to? And the exponential results. So these are the kind of doors that God had opened up to where I'm going to probably take a little 3-day trip over there just to do that. You know, because it would be well worth that time. But this was just a culmination of a lot of different things that happened during this time to where God opens up doors there presently and also for the future. So again, thanks you to everyone for being a part of helping us go. And thank you for allowing us to step away, letting your pastor go away for a few days, because these are the kind of things that we saw and impact. Now, this right here, Robert, we're going to show this one. This is a good visual of what the traffic is like. You hear all that beeping? Hear all the beeping? And this is really not that bad. It can get worse in other places. There was points to where I remember Bruce was saying, he was like, Marcia would freak out in this traffic right here. Because you're weaving in and out, and there's all this different stuff happening. But, you know, you feel safe. It's just a cultural thing. It's the way it is. I used to talk to people on the phone there, and I'd hear all that beeping in the background. Beep, 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 beep. And I'm like, what is going on here? What's with all this beeping? And then you get over there, and you get a revelation of exactly what you're experiencing, because it is a whole different culture, a whole different world. Amen? So God did wonderful things. We experienced a lot of the manifestation of His blessing. And so I believe God wants to bring that back with us. Amen? I believe that's something that people have been sensing here at High Point. That, you know, we want to see more favor, more blessing, more increase in our church body. Amen? And we're going to see that. The Lord had put on my heart, was personally ministering to me while we were over there on the subject of favor. And so the Lord has shown me and instructed me that we're going to be talking about that over the next few weeks. So get ready for this. It goes right in line with everything that you've heard today, and it goes right in line with what God wants to do in your life about how He wants to manifest His favor, His blessing in your life so you can experience these things here, because this is a mission field just like that is. Amen? Well, let's stand on our feet. Glory to Jesus. I told Bruce, I was like, here's another part of the blessing right here. We come back to daylight savings time, and we're already recovering from jet lag, so we don't have to go through it with everybody. Praise God. Amen. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, thank you today for the mighty works that you are doing in us and through us and all around the world. Father, we thank you for the wonderful privilege of being your hands and your feet, and that, God, you are doing
good things through your church. And Lord, I just declare over High Point Church that this is indeed a city set on a hill. And that, Father, you are increasing our influence, not only in this local community, but all around the world. I thank you that our light is shining brighter and brighter and further and further. And Lord, you're increasing a manifestation of the Holy Spirit in this local body. You're doing a mighty work in this congregation, and we give you glory for it. We thank you. Let's lift our hands and thank him. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in our midst. You are a blessing. And everywhere we go, we take you with us. Therefore, everything is blessed that we touch. Everything is blessed where we go. And we thank you, Father, that you are ministering life, imparting life to this body. Thank you, Father, for this precious people here that is being used for your glory. You are a good, good Father, and we love you, and we bless you, and give you the glory for every good thing that was accomplished, knowing that it is by the grace of God that we are what we are, that we have what we have, and we can do what we can do. It is by the grace, the unmerited favor of Almighty God. We thank you, Father, for that. In Jesus' name, amen.